pasta is just one heartwarming Italian dish, but there are many more. Last week, Palette member Kristen Henning took us along on her e-bike slow tour, which she says gave her an inside-out view of Puglia, the stiletto heel-shaped region of southern Italy. This week, she talks about the wine and food experiences, including stays at a masseria.
Is that like a Maserati?
No, it's a masseria.
Right.
A traditional farmhouse hotel. She spoke to Graham Kemlow earlier.
I've got a bit of a throat, but I have got Kristen Henning on the line. Fortunately, she's not in the same room, so she can't catch this. Chris, last week, talked about the e-bike tour of Italy, which I called the Italian job because it was just the antithesis of screaming around Italy on an e-bike. But we wanted to talk to you, Chris, about the food and the wine that you would have enjoyed on that particular trip with husband Tom. So Puglia is that stiletto heel on the Adriatic coast of southern Italy. It's not all pasta and pizza down there, is it?
It is not. In fact, I don't think we maybe had a pizza. They're known for their antipasti, for their cheeses, their cured meats, and certainly for the particular wines from that region of Puglia.
Is this a warmer part of Italy than up around Rome and those areas?
It is, and the food is distinct. I mean, I really, really enjoyed the food here, much more so than I anticipated, even though we have a good friend who is from Martina Franca, right in the middle of Puglia, and he sent us a couple of emails and told us what to look for, and I thought he was just going nuts about his hometown, but in fact, it is that good, and the food is their specialties are so locally based. They're not at all like the food you'd get in Rome. It's much better than Rome food.
Well, I've heard reports about that, so maybe that wouldn't be hard to do. So what was your most memorable meal? Let's start with that.
Well, I guess I would first like to conflate Puglia and Basilicata here, because we started in Matera, which is over the border into the next region of Basilicata, which is sort of the arch of the boot, if you will, the arch of the foot. And yep. The memorable thing there was waking up to the smell of what appeared to be baking bread. Matera is really known for its bread and for its black wheat, they call it. It's from the history of their burning the wheat crops to try to get in a second planting to hasten the transition from one planting to the next to fertilize the earth. Of course, the open burning is discouraged now, but you have still a tradition of blackened wheat, if you will. So the first dinner we had was the most memorable because I had a pasta of black wheat and alongside a nice Primitivo wine, which I'd never heard of, but also a very local grape and a wonderful wine.
What color is that?
That's a red wine, although there are Primitivo rosés, definitely, and maybe even whites. I didn't have a Primitivo white. It would seem like a waste to me. I'm the red wine drinker in that neck of the woods.
Right.
And you asked about the climate, and this red is, I think, a little bit more mindful of a Spanish red. It's a little chewier, a little heartier than you might expect from an Italian red.
A Rioja or something, is it?
Yeah, a bit. It's not quite as oaky, but hearty, still a little bit of sweetness. It's maybe similar to some Sicilian wines, the Nero di Davolo. Just delicious. Very, okay. Very nice.
Now, I just want to take you back to the black wheat. Did it taste burnt or did it just look burnt?
No, it did not taste burnt, but it's almost not peppery, but has that appearance of, and it is, again, the word hearty comes to mind. It just feels a bit more like a whole grain would be to a processed. It feels more like, it tastes more like a rich whole grain. The dish that I had was black pasta with ricotta and sun-dried tomatoes. So it was a great combination of the grain and the tartness of the sun-dried tomatoes and then the rich creamy sauce of the ricotta cheese. It's called Trocoli di Grano Ardo. Yeah, it's okay. Wonderful. Very, very nice. Yeah.
And your Italian's improving out of sight too.
I wish that every meal I ate in Italy would have improved my Italian, but...
Well, that was the idea, wasn't it?
Yeah. Each glass of wine does, perhaps. You'll also find that they use crumpled bread a lot on their pastas, and it may seem redundant to have that, but they use a toasted crumb, as you would on a Caesar salad. It's delicious.
Now, I notice on your list you've got olive oil here. Is it grown in the local area?
Yes, it is a big part of the agriculture in that area. The central to eastern part of that spike heel of Italy is ancient, and huge olive groves. It's really from the mid part of the peninsula to the sea. And the area around Ostuni, which is an old port city, a bit inland now, but in the ancient days it was a port, and it was at the time one of the biggest ports of olive oil in the world. It's really fascinating to be able to see from a bike some of the old trees, which are huge. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Did you have olive oil tastings?
We did at one. Another great thing about this part of Italy is that there are masserias, which are the old agricultural houses, homes, estates, and many of those have been turned into sophisticated hotels with fabulous dining rooms. And at one of these masserias that we stayed in, they produce olive oil and their own wine. And so we had a bit of a tasting there with our dinner.
So a masseria, is that like the paradors in Spain?
They are strictly, not exactly, because I think of the paradors as being historic sites. These are often historic, but they're always part of an agricultural system. So they're the estate homes that are part of a productive agricultural region.
And how do you get to stay there? Is there a website you look at?
Well, ours was booked through our bike tour, and many of them are available through normal booking channels.
Okay.
We also worked after our bike tour with a great group called Wonderful Italy, and they specialize in accommodations of all sorts in Puglia and Sicily. So these masseria could be booked through them too.
Okay.
Yeah, what I liked about them is that we stayed in kind of like an Airbnb, only with a concierge service, is how I would classify Wonderful Italy. And they, through them, we had owners who would then give us great restaurant recommendations as well.
You were staying in agricultural locations, and I guess you were eating off the land to a large extent.
Yeah, that's the way it is in Puglia. It's just everything is so local, and the best restaurants, of course, really take advantage of what is growing right then and there, whether it's herbs or meat or seafood or vegetables.
Right. So tell me about the cured meats. I'm interested. Obviously, a lot of places around the world, pork is a favorite ingredient. What were they using in Italy?
The main cured meat that we had is a sausage called a capocollo. I don't know precisely what's in it. A bit of spice, a mild spice.
Just looking it up on, okay,
I capocollo. I can hear you Googling
that. Traditional Italian and Corsican pork, cold cut salume. I suppose it's like salami. Made from the dry cured muscle running from the neck. Early.
So there you have it. You are correct. It's pork.
Now tell me, you also talked last week about some of the seaside locations you visited. I guess you would be eating seafood there. And what sort of seafood was on offer?
We had everything from shellfish. Yeah, we didn't eat as much seafood really as we did vegetables and meat.
Right.
But generally what was offered is everything from river fish, from trout, to seafood. We did have scallops, I think, at one point, but we never really went overboard on seafood while we were on our bike trip.
Right, just in case.
Yeah, no, it was not a conscious decision. It was just we were attracted by the very local vegetables, I think, and so we tended to fill up on the antipasti.
Right.
Sometimes there would be mussels served with the antipasti.
So artichokes, eggplant, that sort of thing was a pretty regular fare.
Yes, and asparagus and pastas with lamb, with asparagus, with seafood, with shrimp, maybe once.
Were you eating conscious that you needed to have some carbs to burn up on the bike, or you just had it, were you just eating normally?
I thought that I would need to carbo load before my bike trip, so I ate pasta at every opportunity.
Right.
We really didn't eat big much in the way of lunch while we were riding.
Yeah.
We kept it very light. We'd like to eat fruit for lunch, maybe stop for a sandwich if we were starving, but we got a late start as we were biking, so we would sometimes just stop for a coffee or sometimes just eat out of our pack.
And what sort of coffee are they serving? Espresso or?
Wonderful espresso. A
Right.
macchiato is more common there than it seems like the visitors, the tourists drink the cappuccino, and the locals are not drinking that much milk in
Right.
their coffee. They're drinking just a tad bit of milk in the coffee for a macchiato or the straight espresso.
You might get scoffed at if you ask for anything milky after breakfast, I believe.
I think that's right. And of course, we've witnessed an American here or there being quite indignant when they order a latte and
You get a glass of milk.
get a glass of milk, and they're
Yeah.
indignant and why they didn't understand that they ordered a glass of milk when they ordered a glass of milk.
You have to order an Americano, don't you?
Yes, and Americanos are more common now among the Italians too.
All
The
right.
other big drink for around the cafe is Aperol Spritzer, which I had never really heard of, but that's very popular. See, I was just looking back at my note, and I should mention that after our ride, we stopped at a seaside town called Polignano e Mare, which is a cliff-hanging, beautiful little town
Right.
north of Ostuni. And we did have, I ordered a, believe it or not, in this seaside town, a carpaccio for a starter, which was fabulous beef. But then I did order calamari for my main
Okay.
course, and it was outstanding. I'd forgotten about that meal. And it was so nice in this dish because it was cooked with, it wasn't the usual breaded and fried affair.
Yeah.
It was sauteed with and prepared with pureed beans. Delightful. It was really good.
Now, I just want to know, did you have much to drink there at all, or were you concerned about being pulled up for DUI on your e-bike?
I drank at a hearty pace, just like I bike. Yeah, we generally enjoyed a bottle of wine with dinner.
Well, Chris, as usual, terrific report on your trip to Puglia and this side on the food and the wine. There's some names there for people to have a look for. And we did publish a link last week. We'll republish that link if people want to look up what Chris and Tom ate and drank on the way around the Stiletto Hill of Italy. Thanks again.
Yes.
That was Kristen Henning telling Graham Kemlow that travellers will never go hungry when they spend time in Puglia in southern Italy, as the food and wine is so diverse and so delicious, and I just can't wait to get back there.